Thank you, Council President. Council I apologize. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Council President. And I appreciate that support. I certainly concur with you with respect to the administration, this current administration being forthcoming to us and to me with requests and information that I've asked. I do respectfully disagree with the reluctance to support a five-year forecast. And let me explain why. So a forecast is just what it is. It's a forecast of reasonable knowledge of the numbers and assumptions that you have in your hand today. So let's assume that we agree on this and we get a five-year forecast. The five-year forecast starts with today, and that number is going to be a very accurate number. 2 years out, it's still going to be reasonably accurate, but there's going to be some assumptions. In 3 years from now, things can change, and they will change. So in less than 3 years from now, we're going to have a new contract with the fire department, we're going to have a new contract with municipal, and we're going to have a new contract with the teachers. So there is some assumptions that can be used which are reasonably accurate assumptions, if there's such a thing as an accurate assumption, because history tells us what the trend has been for the previous 5 years for those assumptions. But if you remember in my comments in the beginning of this, I said that the spreadsheet is something that can be changed daily, just like on one of my pricing forms. In the past year, I probably had to change my prices a couple of dozen times. So I can forecast, here's what the cost of this item will be this year, but I'm gonna have to change it because the pricing changes. The same thing with the five-year forecast. This isn't something that you're going to take to the bank and say, okay, I'm gonna have $100 guaranteed to save. But it's gonna be a realistic assumption because it's gonna be based on the history. It's gonna be based on the trends that we have already experienced, the trends that are documented in the past. If a contract comes in and it's less than what we anticipated for the increase, it's a click of the mouse and it's a change of the number. If it comes in higher, it's the same thing. It isn't like, oh my God, you know, the sky is falling in. You're gonna have a reasonably accurate forecast for 5 years that can and will change, part of it based upon your 5 years prior or 10 years prior or your average thereto. And it can change as our costs change and as contracts change. So in year three, we take a look at it and we say, okay, so this particular bargaining group, they got a raise a little more than we anticipated. Boom, you plug in a number and you update your five-year forecast. Otherwise, you're driving blind. You're driving blind. We can't sell anything if we don't know where we're going. You wouldn't buy anything if you didn't know how you were going to pay for it. So I think the five-year forecast, I think it's very reasonable. It's very reasonable to get that five-year forecast. It's very simple to amend and change that forecast. You're not going to have this drastic swing. The five-year forecast may say, okay, in 5 years from now, we're going to have a budget of $360 million. It's not going to come in at $460 million. It might fluctuate, you know, here or there. It's a forecast. It's an intelligent projection of existing numbers, previous numbers, and with some speculation and assessments going forward. I think that is financially responsible. I think it's financially prudent for us to receive. And I think it's imperative that the taxpayers get this information. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. I'm going to pivot and request that the Finance Director, Schaefer, I would like your input on what the Council President and what the Councilman just discussed on the 3 versus 5 years and your input on this legislation.
I want to point out that back in the Raimondo administration, they passed something called the Transparency Portal. And one of the provisions is within 30 days of final action on their budget, each city or town should provide the division a 5-year forecast in the form and format required by the division. We have done that, and we supplied that to the state in August. Now you would ask, why didn't we give it to you? The form and format acquired by the state has 41 columns and 479 rows for the city of Warwick. This is hiding most of the columns with all the assumptions. It's 4 pages like this. I don't think it's very good right now because so much has changed in this past year. We assume big health insurance increases in this forecast. Right now, we're looking at no increase next year. That's what we're being told by the trust. On the other hand, energy costs, who would have forecast what's happening in the energy? So I don't dispute that this should be done, and it is done. And I can make it, when we pass the next budget, I can make that available. If you can wade through and read this information, what I don't want to do is do this twice. Once, as required by the state, and a second time, in some other format. The state has decided this out of, and by the way, there's other things. We have to submit to them a budget as enacted, budget survey, and then quarterly after the first 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, we provide a quarterly report to the state. And I talked to our contact with the state this morning, and most places are in compliance with those two, the end of the enacted budget report and the quarterly reporting. We're one of the few places that does the 5-year forecast, and we're not even compliant because the school department hasn't been doing it. So there's two parts of this. There's one, the city side, which is 48% of the total budget. Then there's the school side, which is 52% of the total budget. And the school department has not been compliant on the 5-year forecast. And they were in transition at the time that we were filing our report this past August. They got a great new school business manager, and I'll certainly communicate with him after the budget's passed this year. And one other thing is that the Councilman Lattiser is talking about including the $350 million. I thought we did a pretty good job supplying you information on that. I would not include that until there's some action by the council to go forward, for example. I wouldn't feel comfortable including those costs as part of a regular 5-year forecast. So those are my comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Councilman.
Yes, thank you. So I...
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, everyone has to have a chance to speak. The councilman has already spoken twice. If we can have open it up to the rest of the committee, the council, we got to let everyone have a chance to speak before someone speaks for a third time.
Mr. President, this is a question to Mr. Schaefer.
I know, but you've already spoken twice. We got to let everyone have an opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think what we'll do then in agreeance with the president is I'll let everyone do their opening and then we'll go back to the questions.
Thank you,
Councilman. Questions from the committee or comments?
I'll just make a brief statement of support. I mean, I think a lot of valid commentary so far. Of course, you know, in a complicated financial projection, the further you go out, the less likely it is to be dead on, but certainly a valuable tool in assessing where we are and a valid part of the decision-making framework for all things, including, you know, this pending school issue. So completely support all around. Also completely agree, we don't want to put the finance department through, making some sort of redundant presentation to what they've already done. But I'm sure the way the state is requesting us to prepare these forecasts may not be the most consumable. So maybe what's needed is, you know, some level of follow-up so that we all understand how to interact with what's already been available and how to, you know, best digest it and how to understand what the assumptions are. But all around, it sounds like we're moving in the right direction. We want to make sure that we all have clarity on where we stand before we make a decision on, you know, where we're going to go, especially on a big ticket item like schools. We want to be able to make this information consumable for the public. Want to make sure that we can all explain it, explain that we understand it, and answer questions as a, you know, big team here to try to help make the best decisions for the city. So I appreciate it. That's really all I have to add there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Any other members of the council? Co-sponsor, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chairman. So I'd like to briefly express my support, and I do think that a five-year forecast is in order. We have done these five-year forecasts before. I find them to be useful. And although some of the details may be different looking years out, there are a lot of knowns that we do have to work from. We know what our bond payments should be as to the bonds that have been previously approved. We can make some reasonable assumptions on what healthcare costs will be that far out. We can make some reasonable assumptions based on the contractual commitments that we have already made that are within that 5-year period. And we can make some reasonable assumptions or provide a range for, okay, this is what it would look like if similar terms to the existing contracts were to be approved as to future years. And all of that can be explained as part of a 5-year forecast. This can give us a general picture on, okay, if we are continuing in the very same direction, and if there aren't any earth-shattering changes. I certainly am aware that we didn't see COVID-19 coming at the time of the last forecast back in August 2019. But putting aside those sorts of earth-shattering events and massive injection of money from the federal government, things like that, it can certainly be helpful for us to have a general understanding of if everything is continuing on the pace that it's going right now, are we going to be expecting 0%, 2%, 4% tax increases to be the norm to keep up with expenses? Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Any other comments or questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. So we heard comments that we've received some information on best case and worst case scenario for the schools. We need to know what is the number, best case, worst case, based on what? Now, Mr. Schaefer, I'm going to ask you to repeat your comment about your position regarding the $350 million for the schools being presented to us in the forecast. Did you say, did I understand you correctly to say that you didn't feel that was necessary? What did you say about the 300? What I want is I want a projection, $350 million, assuming that the school's going to cost us $350 million. What I'm looking for is a number that the taxpayers are going to be well aware of when they go into that voting booth to vote up or down. And I think it's absolutely imperative that we have that information. And best case, worst case? Yeah, okay, great. Give me worst case.
Worst case is those schools could cost us $450 million. Best case is they're going to cost us $350. Give me the forecast. Tell me what the tax consequences are going to be to the taxpayers. We're going to get 52% or we're going to get 43%. We were told that at the last meeting we had that it was capped at, what was it, $250 million, I think the cap was. That comes out to 43%. So we got numbers all over the place. I don't know where those numbers are. I don't know what to tell my people when they call and they say, Councilman, how much do you think this is going to cost us if we go ahead and do these schools? My answer is, I don't know. I don't like giving that answer. I want to know.
Councilman Lattiser, I apologize. You started off with you had a question. What was the specific question that you'd like to ask Mr. Schaefer? I apologize.
Okay. The question was to repeat what you had said on the $350 million. As I understood it, you said that you would not be able to or wouldn't or couldn't, whatever, give us what the number is in the tax, what the tax consequences would be, including the $350 million in a five-year forecast. How can you not provide that information?
I provided you 2 months ago a range of a forecast from 350
right.
to 400 million, this 50% reimbursement versus 35% reimbursement. And I calculated what the tax rate increase would be based upon that.
That's correct. That's what you did.
You're talking about a
Councilman, please let him answer the question. Go ahead. Thank you.
A five-year forecast should be based upon something where action has been taken. And the council only took action to go to stage two. The school committee will come back, and if we then have it on the ballot, absolutely, I will come out with another fiscal note and do fine-tune that disclosure that I gave you 2 months ago.
I think the two
have to be separate projects.
How could they be separate projects? Before I can say, okay, this is a good thing to do, I need to know what it is. What you gave us was, here's what the tax would be for just that portion of the school. I want to know what is the total tax rate consequence cost to the taxpayers going to be if they approve a $350 million bond funded at 52% or funded at 43% versus $450 million with a 52% return and a 43% return. That's not a difficult math problem for you to do.
I would say I did that for you 2 months ago.
No, that's not what you did 2 months ago. I don't remember seeing anything that says if we go ahead and we do and approve a bond for $350 million and we include all of the other things that we're talking about, here's what the tax is going to be. I don't remember seeing that number, because if there was such a number, it was going to far exceed what our legal ability is to raise taxes. We can only raise taxes by less than $9 million right now. And those taxes just on that 350, I think were, what was it, $1.50 or something? We can't do it.
Councilman, so I'm gonna go ahead and redirect us on the PCR. I understand what you're saying. Mr. Schaefer gave his input on this resolution before us. So what I'm going to do now is move on to the public comment. And I'm going to request if anyone in the public would like to speak on PCR 32-22, please come to the mic. I do request that you state your name, as well as all questions. Any questions directed will be directed through the chairman of this committee. Thank you.
How are you? Rob Cody, Ward 7. I'd like to continue the conversation based upon some of Councilman Lattisaw's comments. So obviously I'm in favor of a five-year plan. I also think we need a 10-year plan, because we need to have a lookout to see where we're actually going. And we've really never done that. And it's never been portrayed to the taxpayer, so we're in the blind. But I'm concerned with the two paragraphs 5 and 6 in the resolution, which specifically state about the debt obligations and the impact to any future borrowings and debt, including the $350 million school construction. So The point that I would like to make, kind of to piggyback on Mr. Lattisaw's, is maybe I can ask the finance chairman, that $350 million, that value, where did that projection come from, that $350 million? In other words, the cost projections. When did we develop those cost projections, and who did it?
I am not, this is not my resolution. It's the number. You can ask the sponsor. I did not write this resolution, so I don't know where it came from.
I know you didn't, but I would assume that you would have knowledge of the body of this resolution where it talks about $350 million.
I'm speaking on the resolution as it's before us, and okay. As far as the information within the resolution.
Okay, so I'm assuming that it came.
The main body of this is requesting that there be a 5-year audit.
Mr. Chairman, I'll respond to that if you'd want.
All right, thank you.
So the $350 million, Mr. Cody, was the number that was provided to us from the school department. I did not inquire of the school department how they arrived at that number. I took the number as a cost estimate to build two schools. You've also heard me state earlier today and in the past, I don't believe for a minute that those two buildings will be built for $350 million. The cost, I believe, is going to be substantially more.
And I agree.
Hold on, let me finish. So that's
Councilman,
why.
Councilman, I'd like us just to redirect on the discussion of the 5-year plan. Into the cost of the school is another discussion on another day. This is requesting the five-year projection.
Right. Mr. Chair, so I am speaking to that because on line 34, it speaks to the $350 million in schools. And to go to Mr. Cody's point, I think, is that's why I've asked for that projection based upon the cost of the schools being $350. And you know what? Projected out as if the cost were $450, because we don't know.
Okay.
That's a swinging pendulum right now.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's actually my point. And that $350 million projection was contained within the Stage 2 report that I don't think as of this date anybody has read it, or at least read it thoroughly. I don't know if anybody has. They can comment on it. That figure to me is problematic, not because we want to have a 5-year look ahead, but it should be accurate, right? We've all talked about accuracy in numbers in this council a lot of times, but I can tell you that this number is nowhere near accurate. And I've had extensive conversations with all players, including RIDE. So this $350 million, if it's $400 million, we need to know that because
again,
we need
again,
to be
Mr.
able to
Cody,
have...
Again, Mr. Cody, we are talking about a 5-year projection and moving this resolution forward for the city to supply a 5-year projection.
Right. Well, this is in... The words are in this resolution about the $350 million school construction.
As an example, yes, it is.
Right. So
now,
you're
debating whether or not it's going to be 400 or 350.
Well,
what we're talking about is the resolution to move forward.
I understand
forward
that.
Going to be a
I understand. I'm talking about the contents of the resolution and whether or not they're accurate. And the reason that we need to know that they're accurate is because if we're going to have $350 million worth versus $400 million or whatever that number may be, what is the impact to the taxpayer? And we don't know that. And we've never known that because we don't have any type of projection. So it's very easy to pull up a spreadsheet and institute different variables into that spreadsheet to have a projection. And you can change that very easily. We do it all the time in private business. And the point being is, so if this is $350 million or if it's $200 million, what's going to be the direct impact to the taxpayer in 3 years or 5 years? I mean, we've heard statements that a 5-year plan is not worth the paper it's written on. So that's telling the taxpayer that we're going to keep you in the dark and we're not going to let you know how our spending and how our wish list is going to affect you in the future. how it's going to affect all of the city spending and city services and what your tax base is going to be. And that's problematic. And so in my opinion, I think that you've really opened the door with the language in this to address that issue and to address whether or not that $350 million is accurate, right? Because if it's not accurate, it changes everything. And I really think that you need to be accurate. And, you know, for a long time, the residents have been asking for some type of projection because they want to be able to plan their future. And we can't plan the future. And frankly, as Mr. Lattisaw said, we can only raise $8.6 million with a maximum tax increase. So it's incumbent upon the city council to have the necessary data in front of them to be able to project that out a number of years so people can make their decisions. Maybe they want to move out of Warwick. Maybe they want to move into Warwick. Maybe they don't want to open a business in Warwick because of the tax ramifications. And this council has never done that. And it's only fair to the people that are paying the bill that you make these representations and you make them with some form of accuracy so they can plan their lives. And I don't, for the life of me, see why that hasn't been done in the future. Right? Because we're flying blind. We don't have a plan. And it changes from year to year. At least this way, you could have an outlook so the people could somehow start to make decisions, right? I don't think that's unreasonable. And I don't think it's unreasonable for 5 years. It should be 5 years and 10 years. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman.
So I think the point that I made early on is with this document, with this Excel spreadsheet, for lack of a better term, this is why this particular item is so important, because we can get a number based upon $350 million. And it's simply pull out $350, plug in $450, and we can get a new number. That's what I want to be able to go back to my constituents and tell them, here's what the taxes are going to, here's what your taxes are going to be with everything inclusive if it's $350. If this goes to $450, here's what it's going to be. Are you prepared to pay the bill? We can't do that if we don't get that information. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Understood. Thank you. Good evening. Please identify yourself with your name.
Yep. My name is Katie Mulligan. I'm from Ward 5. So I'm glad to hear that so many of the city council people support this, because you guys are saving me a lot of time. A couple of things, points that I heard, though. I am also in agreement with the 5 year, because 3 years comes up way too fast. In a document that is alive, like Councilman Lattisaw is describing, like he said, it's with a touch of a button, you change your formula and you get the new, more accurate numbers. So easy peasy. I don't think the 3 years versus the 5 years, I don't think the 5 years should be a deal breaker at all. With all due respect to the finance director, he mentioned that he wouldn't put the cost of the schools in until action had been taken. Well, that's like asking if I can afford my family vacation after I've bought the plane tickets. We have to know this stuff beforehand. So we can't wait for action to be taken. This is a future projection. And my final point is that I would love to see this be a rolling projection, where every year we just tack on another year and all the numbers just keep going down the line. I mean, that would be the most ideal situation. Oh, I'm sorry, I do have one more thing. Make sure that it would include the city budget and the school budget, because we heard from the finance director that it didn't include the school budget for some reason. So those are my points. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good evening. Please identify your name.
Good evening, council members. Michelle Comar. Councilman Lattisaw, your comments straight on, spoken like a senior statesman. I thank you for them. This is something we long needed in the city of Warwick. This tool is needed as a financial analysis for both elected officials and the taxpayers. And it's the mayor and the city council that know the financial responsibility. I hesitate, don't want to use the word financial burden, of people who own property in Warwick or live here. And we need to know this. The enterprise fund in your budget, I'm going by recall, for the water department and the sewer department include five-year plans. And I know the WSA has spreadsheets that are live that they adjust based on their debt service, their payback, incurring more debt, and that helps them plan ahead for what sewer assessments are and what their sewer user fees are. A valuable tool. We don't have that on the city level. I don't know why. At least it's not accessible to the taxpayers. So I'm definitely in favor of this five-year financial plan. And I wanted to include also sewer assessments, because there's a misconception out there that sewer assessments, you don't have to pay them until you connect to the sewer. And I know, Councilman, I served on your sewer commission with you, so we know this fact, that that is wrong. That's a misconception. You pay your sewer assessment after WSA knows all the final costs come in, you know, any kind of extras due to sewer construction, and they come up with a final number. Now, the mayor has pointed out that Governor Francis Phase 3 in Bayside will be capped at $16,000. They're going to be paying that whether they connect to the sewer or not. That has to be incorporated into the financial responsibility of those who live in Warwick. I would also include the average water bill and the average sewer bill based on data, real data. The utility billing department is part of the tax assessor's office, and they have real data. So when you put in what the taxpayers are paying to live in Warwick, property tax, tangible property tax, the sewer assessments that people in other parts of the city, not just the two I mentioned, they're still paying, your water bill, your sewer bill, that's what people pay to live in Warwick. And we gauge that against quality of life. Do we like living here for that cost? Do we not like living here for this cost? That comes into play. So I think I brought up everything I need to bring up. I agree that the document needs to be live, because to put this on the ballot in November for taxpayers to vote on, we need the best information available. And if that best information available in November includes architectural and engineering cost estimates, which I think are more valuable than guesswork and ballpark figures, that's what the taxpayers want. And I hope that's available with the overall scheme of financial responsibility in a five-year plan, so that we have this information for the November ballot. I think this information for a five-year plan would also benefit a commission we have operating right now in the city, which is the Taxpayer Relief Commission. Valuable tool right here. Know what everybody's paying, so that if you have a good neighbor program, which you're helping out folks in need, who's picking up the slack? Are you putting it on somebody who's already paying a $16,000 30-year note, 20-year note for a sewer assessment? We need to know this, and it's never really been factored in. And I hope the mayor and the city council really see that this tool is needed for a five-year plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Please come up to the microphone, identify yourself.
Thank you, Councilman. Robert Cushman, Ward 1, former Warwick City Councilman from Ward 1, former member of the Finance Committee. What we're talking about here is something that I've been advocating for years in this city. It's something that it's not difficult to do. It's not rocket scientist. 85% of our budgets, whether it's the school department or the city, is personnel costs. We have documents out there already that give us the answers that we need up to 5 years. So I got to disagree with the council president when he talks about it's only accurate for 1 to 3 years. We know what raises we're going to give for our employees. To Councilman Lattisaw's point, we can put assumptions in for, let's say, a fourth or fifth year. We could even make them low, let's say 2%, 1.5%, so we can calculate those figures out. We know what the total cost of our health care is for our active and retired employees. We have actuary reports. It says it. It tells you what the assumption is going forward for what the health care cost is going to be. Start with our baseline this year, this budget year, and you add that percentage in. We know how much we have to pay for our pensions. The actuary reports tell us that. We have in the actuary reports, if you read them, it tells you out into 5 years how much we have to pay for them. So what are we talking about for maybe assumptions? commodity costs, the other 15% of the budget, services. We can put reasonable assumptions in, and we can build this model. You know, I have to go back, and I'm really dismayed by what I just heard from the finance director. Because, you know, Councilman, the council president, thank you for advocating for doing this. But, you know, you made a comment that you're confident that the city is willing or can do this. I don't know if I'm so much confident right now, because the finance director basically said, I've done a five-year forecast, and we don't really need to do this again until we pass, you know, legislation to authorize $350 million in bonds. That's too late. To, you know, to everybody's point that has made to say, we're talking about generational borrowing here. We have basically $1 billion in unfunded liabilities. We're talking about putting 350 to 400 million more on top of those liabilities. You know, I last time I called in, I'm glad I can see you all your faces now. It's great to be here and be able to see you. I asked people during that stage two application, did anybody look at the capability of the city to do this borrowing? The formula, we went through that laborious formula, and we found out that the city doesn't even have the capability of doing this. We're going to have to put a resolution on the ballot to spend more than what we're authorized by state law. And I guess the finance department basically said we could do that because it's related to this borrowing. But here's the question. If we borrow this much money, besides how much it's going to cost, because it's going to be massive, we're going to have a supplemental tax increase. I think we all understand that. What's going to happen in this city 5 years from now? We have a major water main break or some kind of major catastrophe in the city. I think everybody can understand, you know, borrowing costs, their FICO score. You see a FICO score all the time. If you've borrowed so much money that the credit agencies, you're so far over your max for a person, an individual, they're not going to let you borrow anymore. Now, for a city, we're the ATM. You can keep taxing us higher and higher, but we're going to pay larger rates. The question is when you make decisions like this, what effect are these decisions going to have down the line that things that we're not even thinking about, right? So when I look at this, and I just want to bring up a point that Mr. Cody brought up, the RIDE application that has $350 million on this, and this is maybe a question, if it turns out that we don't have the right, my understanding is once this goes through, we can't change it. So RIDE's going to come back. They're going to come back to the council. The council will probably have a public hearing and decide, do we want to put this $350 million bond on the ballot, right? So let's say we start with the school instruction. We don't have the inflation factors, right? We don't have Pilgrim High School as a emergency shelter. I don't know if you're aware of this, but all the engineering plans is that it's not an emergency shelter. And I think right now it is an emergency shelter because last August, the governor named Pilgrim High School one of the five emergency shelters in the entire state. So if you look at the application document, it's not being built as an emergency shelter.
Mr. Cushman, okay. Once again, I'm going to ask to redirect back to the resolution.
So my question is this. We start the borrowing. We start building the schools, right? We've only borrowed a set amount of money. What happens at the end of the project if we need $10 or $20 million more? What are we going to do? To the chair.
We're talking about the resolution seeking a five-year plan.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have another massive supplemental tax increase. This is why we need this five-year forecast with a variable that puts in the $350 million, that puts in the $56 million that you haven't authorized for the schools, right? Am I correct? Is $56 million that hasn't been released, Mr. Chairman?
We are speaking of a resolution for a five-year plan.
Yeah, right?
We are not speaking about the amount of money that's going into the school. We're not speaking about the schools. The request. I'll read it. A resolution requesting the finance director provide the city council a report on the city's financial projections and budget forecast for the next 5 years. So we are discussing the request that the city, that the finance director does that.
Would that include future borrowing?
We are not discussing about $50 million.
Would that include all future borrowing that hasn't been released, that potentially could be released? Would that plan include that?
It is the five-year resolution requesting the finance director to provide the city council.
All right, so I'm just going to go on record that the chairman doesn't want to answer that, but we have $56 million in bond money.
Mr. Cushman, I'm going to go on record saying that you keep trying to invert and put in other things that are not on discussion right now. So I'm going to ask you one final time to please stay focused on the resolution before us that the finance director give us a five-year plan.
Is the $27 million that you just approved for November, would that be part of the five-year forecast?
That is the discussion of the resolution.
Can I ask the sponsor if that would be included?
I don't see the purpose of that.
Okay. All right. So we're going to leave $90 million off the five-year forecast. All right. One last thing.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me.
Excuse me.
Are going to have one person speak. The chairman, Howe, is running this meeting. He will speak. We're not having people jump in. We're not accusing anybody of anything. We are talking about this one particular issue, a five-year plan. You guys cannot dictate what numbers you want in there or anything like that. The proposal is, do we request to do a five-year plan? We're not going back and forth. You're not arguing about the school bonds. We are sticking to this one issue. Councilman Howe will acknowledge people or not acknowledge people. It is up to the chairman. We need to stop the conversations in the back. We need to have one person speak. Okay. Councilman Howe, thank you.
Thank you. Again, my final request, Mr. Cushman, stick to PCR 32-22.
Is there any language in that resolution that talks about additional borrowing? Is there any sentences, any whereas in that resolution?
I don't remember seeing any.
I recall reading it, and I recall reading that there is a whereas clause that includes additional borrowing. Anybody read the resolution?
Mr. Chairman?
So, yes, Councilman.
I think I can clear this up if I may.
Thank you, if you don't mind.
It states on line 33, current debt obligations and the impact of any future borrowings, including the requested $350 million. So the intent of this resolution is to include all those exposures. We have $7 million that's still floating out there for Mickey Stevens that's never been approved. We have $56 or $57 million that is still sitting out there. This is something that, if we release, is going to be part of this forecast. So to answer Mr. Cushman's questions, I think that does address it right there. Current debt obligations and the impact of any future borrowings. My intent on this legislation is to include all of those items. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you. I have one final comment. So when I was, you know, on the city council and in years, I've been studying the budget for 15 years. I've done countless Freedom of Information Acts to look at the five-year plan that the city has to file for the state. I'm going to make a famous quote. It's not worth the paper it's printed on because the assumptions are inaccurate. You can't find it anywhere. This, you know, the city has something called state transparency reports. If you go onto your phone right now, look at the finance department website, state transparency reports. You know what they have on there? The 2017 quarterly report. Why isn't that five-year forecast public? Why isn't it made public so we could take a look at it, see what assumptions are in there, and let's see how accurate it is? Because the finance director doesn't seem like he even wants to pertain the request, which is a totally different request from the state filing. The state filing is mandated. You have to do that. I've seen garbage in that thing. We just do it to check off a thing. Okay, we filed it. What Mr. Lattisaur is asking for is something so much more comprehensive that will allow the taxpayers to know exactly how high their taxes are going to go with not only the school borrowing, right? What did we spend last year, Mr. Chairman, between this fiscal year and last year? How much more spending did we increase the city budget? You know, let me just go
Mr.
on the record.
Mr. Cushman, thank you.
Okay, the finance chair doesn't know the answer. We spent $7 million more.
It's 10 minutes, and again, throwing a tax because you don't get the exact answers you want, just unnecessary. Next person to speak. Go ahead. Thank you.
My name is Rick Casella from Ward 1. We've been talking a lot about assumptions in a five-year forecast. It seems like we all assume that the assumptions will be increases. Nobody seems to have the mentality that maybe in 3 to 5 years we can make some inroads with adjustments to some of the costs that we see escalating. So I think that the patina in the council is it's only going to get worse. And if we make these assumptions, what good are they? Because we don't know how high things are going to go. Maybe we ought to start thinking about how low we can bring things down to make it affordable and make the forecast appear if we all are on the same page and we want to make changes that are important and haven't been made in decades, then it would be a lot easier for us to get along when we talk about what we're going to do about 5-year projections. But we should start thinking about how we can make things more affordable instead of how we expect them to just go up and up and up and up. Because that is a function of this council, is to try to economize and try to provide a dividend to the investors in Warwick, which are the taxpayers. And the more we lop on to, or the more we pile on with bonded indebtedness and some of the things that we can't seem to get our hands around when we look at these forecasts, the more we think about what the increases. And if we started thinking about the efficiencies that we can make in every single department, it might be a lot easier for us to swallow the idea of telling people what things are going to cost, because it may not be such a shock if we all are on the same page thinking that we can make those costs lower. And to the finance chairman, I think what Councilman Lattisaw was getting at when he started to get a little heated was that when the finance chairman said, I've already done that, I don't feel like doing it again. And to that, I was like, you're the finance chairman. You're a very busy guy. I'm sure you got a lot going. But part of your job is to produce reports and financial things, whatever your job is.
Mr. So Casella,
I will. If it
you can direct it towards
me. Okay. He Thank should you. Be able to fit whatever he can into an 8-hour day. And if he can fit a more current real-time report or projections, then he should do it. That's all I have to say. And thank you very much for your service as well, sir, and the rest of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Thank you. May I have a motion?
I move favorable action.
I will second that. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
The time is 6:44. The Finance Committee is closed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet will be the Intergovernmental Committee meeting. However, we will pause at 7 o'clock to start the full City Council meeting. We also have public comment this evening. There is a sign-up sheet on the podium right here, and you can see our Sergeant of Arms as well to sign up for public comment. So we will pause this next committee meeting at 7 o'clock to start the full council meeting. Thank you.
It is now 6:49 in the Intergovernmental Committee agenda. We'll now come into order. Up first is the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on March 7th, 2022. Do I hear a motion?
Okay. I can make the motion. Favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The first order of business is PCR 12-22, a resolution requesting collective bargaining participants to consider reforming the City of Warwick's health care benefit plan design. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to the council president, I have... it was actually your recommendation, an amendment to make on the last paragraph of this. Should I put the proposed amendment in now or speak to the content first?
I mean, it's up to you. However, if you put it in now, then everybody knows what we're talking about all the way okay. through. So.
So it was pointed out to me by the council president that I did make an error in the last paragraph by not including the bargaining group representatives. So I'll just read that paragraph. It starts on line 41. Be it further resolved that the city clerk send a copy of this resolution to the mayor, the finance director. Here's where the amendment will come.
finance director, comma, all bargaining group representatives, department heads, the superintendent of Warwick Public Schools, and the Warwick School Committee. So the amendment will be all bargaining group representatives, comma, department heads. So this resolution is another thing that has been very, very long in coming. As you all will recall, it was very recently where I had docketed an ordinance to address these costs that we have with respect to healthcare costs. The ordinance, from comments from legal department, was problematic, and that ordinance failed. This is a resolution. It's not a directive. It's not a demand. It's not infringing on anyone's rights to negotiate any way they'd like. It's simply a request from the city council to work towards the goal of reducing the outrageous healthcare burden that has come to bear on the taxpayers. It's requesting that the bargaining groups in the administration consider these items that are in here. And a lot of them are reflective on what the state, Council 94, has. It's requesting that when they're at the negotiating table, that they consider the contributions in healthcare, which currently sit at 20%. I don't know any corporation in the private sector that has such a rich benefit plan as we have in the city of Warwick. And the reason they don't is because they can't afford them. I'm going to just run some numbers past you to reflect on what's taken place over the years. And these numbers come from the city. These are not numbers that, you know, I make up. So in 2020, we have 964 retirees. We have 675 active employees, which obviously means we have 675 employees and taxpayers who are paying for 964 retirees who are getting free lifetime health care. Last year, I requested the numbers for what our pharmacy tab was for just the retirees. The bill for the pharmacy expenses was $4,621,467. From 2004 to 2021, the cumulative new spending on active employee benefits was $25,681,527. For retirees, during that time period, it was $38,836. The liability in retiree health care in 2015, this is the outstanding liability, was $272,613,934. In 2020, 5 years later, the beginning of fiscal year 2020, that liability had grown to $363,203,570. That's a $90 million increase. At the end of fiscal year 2020, that had grown to $383,266,763. So in 1 year, it grew $20,063,193. The interest cost, in 2020 on retiree health care was $9,953,310. In 2011, the healthcare cost to the taxpayers on the city side was $6.6 million. On the school side, it was $1.9 million. In 2021, the city side grew to 11.1 million. The school was down to $500,000. And these numbers, I've got the copies, anybody wants to see it. They're right here, and they're from Danziger and Markoff. And it was sent to us on September 11th, 2020. The entire city of Warwick's healthcare trend